Well, praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord's good, isn't he? There we go. I want to share a little bit tonight about roadblocks to healing. Now, if you know when we get past road, there are a lot of roadblocks to healing, a lot of them. Oh, you know, when I say roadblocks is people have said things and you've learned things and we've learned a lot of things and we've learned them wrong. And I've learned a lot of things wrong, and it took a long time to straighten them out. And have faith, I'm still straightening them out. I'll probably get them straightened out when Jesus comes, and I'll yell down to the sinners, I got them all straightened out. Now, when we get roadblocks, when we finish them, we can get down to healing. We get past them. I've seen cases where I've actually run into people with roadblocks that the power of God was right there in their body ministering to them, and they didn't receive it because of roadblocks that they had in their spirit and in their mind. And the first one is God sends sickness on people. This is an old one. Way back, I think I come back from, I don't know, maybe the 1800s and stuff had come into the church. And they quote Exodus 15:26. It says, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought on the Egyptians. Well, there it is. And also Isaiah 45:7, Jesus said, I make peace and create evil. And in Micah 1:12, the inhabitants of Marath waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord to the gates of Jerusalem. And if you look at these, the way these are, you'd say, well, yeah, sure, God does send sickness on people, if you look at it that way. But first of all, evil does not come down from heaven for the simple reason is there's none there. Now, you think about that. There's no evil in heaven. Jesus, on the Lord's Prayer, said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And since there's no sickness and disease in heaven, there shouldn't be any sickness and disease on earth. And evil does not come down. There is none there. He does not create sickness. He only permits it because of man's disobedience. Now, what's the answer to this, Chuck? Well, here is the answer. The active verb in the Hebrew language has been translated in the causic sense when it should have been translated in the pervasive sense. Now, I want you to know that Israel had a different covenant than we have. The old Israelites, way back before Jesus, they had a covenant. He said, if you'll keep my commandments and walk in my statutes, I'll put none of these diseases on you. I put on the Egyptians. I'll allow none of these diseases to come. So when you find Jesus coming on the scene, you find a whole bunch of Israelites sick as a dog. Now, what happened? There must have something happened. Well, I'll tell you what. They didn't keep God's covenant, for one thing. And when God gave special instructions, especially to the early Israelites, he said, if you'll keep my commandments and keep my covenants, walk in my statute, none of these diseases will come on you. Well, it's pretty evident to me that, first of all, the Romans had overrun them and set up a government, and there was a whole bunch of sick people there because Jesus, time and again in the gospel, said he ministered healing to the multitudes. He ministered healing to them. Now, they shouldn't have been sick. Now, if you look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, you won't be sick. But there was multitudes of them. You remember the little woman with the fifth chapter of, I think it's Mark, the little woman with the issue of blood that walked by and touched Jesus' garment? And Jesus said, who healed me? Who touched me? For healing power has gone out of me. I perceive it. Well, she was sick. That poor woman was sick almost to death. Now, God did not commission people to reject him. That's not the work of God, although he permitted it because he's given us a free will to accept or reject him or believe him. You've got a free will. God just didn't make us little robots running around. I wish sometimes he would have. It would have been a whole lot easier. But unfortunately, that's not the way he did it. We have a free will. You know, Jesus said, whosoever will may come. When you speak of salvation, he said, whosoever will may come and drink. Over in Revelation 22:17, whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. And then Matthew 8:17 said, himself bare our infirmities and carried our diseases. So we have the ability either to receive or reject, believe or not believe what God has said. But yet I know some people pray, and I've heard him pray this, my healing may not be God's will. And it's God's will. Now, how do you find God's will? Thank you. When you find God's will, you find it in God's word. If the word abide in you and you abide in the word, you'll ask anything in my name and I'll do it. The will of God is the word of God. The word of God is the will of God. If you can find three scriptures in the New Testament that tell you that healing is for you, then you have a doctrine of healings that has fallen from the lips of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our healer, and it's good. And you can put your money on it because you're betting on something. It's not even a bet. It's a solid fact. Well, you say to me, how come people don't get healed? Well, it's because these little things that come in. You know, like God sends sickness on his people. And then sometimes they say, my healing might not be God's will. And when some people pray for healing, they pray, Lord, if it be thy will. If it be thy will. I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. Okay? All right? And you look at the thing, and it is stupid to pray, if it be thy will. There's only one place that God prayed, that Jesus prayed, if it be thy will. That was a prayer of consecration and dedication when he went to the cross. He was just as much man as he was God, and just as was God as he was man, and he didn't particularly like to have nails driven through his hands and die and go and suffer for us. But thank God he rose victorious. That's the good part of it. Now, it is God's will. It is God's will to heal for us. You know, a sinner wouldn't pray, Lord, if it's thy will, save me. God stole us. Brother Marty preaches every Sunday morning. He'll put salvation into the message. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your God. Make him your Savior. Don't stay here. The Lord is coming. On the earth, there's going to come a terrible tribulation. Don't be a part of it. Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, make him your Lord. That's a good message. Boy, that'll stand some preaching, won't it, Ryan? You can preach that for a while. Now, Revelation 22:17, we said, whosoever will may come and take of the waters of life. In Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. One for healing, one for salvation. It's his will. His will is his word. Now, most people who do not believe in divine healing stay away from Matthew 8:17. Himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. Actually, when you look at that, and you look at 1 Peter 2:24, we discussed that in class tonight. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And with his stripes, back at Calvary, we were healed. Well, if we were healed, then we is healed. And if we is healed, we are healed. How come we ain't healed? Because we're not walking in the light of what we know. Now look, why do I get pound this so much, Chuck? You know why? Because I have seen so many good Christian people. I'm 75 years old. I've seen so many good Christian people die and go to be with Jesus, and they didn't have to go before their time. They could have lived and been a blessing to the body of Christ. They could have served Christ and lived to an old age and told people, I've served Jesus all my life, and he's taken care of me. He's taken care of me. He'll take care of you. But they miss God. You know, don't miss God and let the devil beat you in the battle of life. There was one woman whose little boy was sick. And she'd got onto the scriptures with his stripes back at Calvary. I am made whole. And this little boy was dying. And finally she held this little boy up and said, Jesus, if you want this little boy, you can have him, but no devil is going to kill him. And she said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command healing to come on him. And she said, something hit me in the back of the legs, went up my back, went out my arms into that kid, and healed him of everything that was wrong with him. God instantly healed him. See, she was not going to let the devil beat her at the game of life. Don't let the devil beat you at the game of life. Your children are a reward from God. They're a blessing from Almighty God. The Word of God, Jesus gave us His Word. He gave the church His Word to heal itself. I said this in class, I'll say it again. Gifts of healing, and the evangelists who have them in their ministry, and they come and they lay hands on their church. Thank God some of us get healed. But gifts of healing are actually for the Word, or for the world. The church has the Word of God to heal itself on, and the Word of God is yea and amen, and it'll be yea and amen forever. Can you say amen? Okay. Now, someone advanced this theory who did not believe in divine healing, and he said of Matthew 8:17, endeavoring to explain away divine healing, said it meant only Christ took the sickness of the people who lived at that time. But it doesn't apply to us today. Boy, you've got people that don't want to give up, do you? You've got hard noses that'd rather go down and die and go up to be with Jesus than live out their life here and be a blessing. And the job that God gave them, and He gave every one of us a job, die before they fulfilled that. Wouldn't it be nice to stand before Jesus and say, hey, Lord, I'm just an ordinary Christian, but I got two people saved. It's better than having no people saved. And I'll guarantee you the two people you got saved through eternity, it's important to. I'll guarantee you it's important to them. It may not be important to anybody else, but it is vastly important. Wouldn't it be great if you get, I got three people? I got four people saved. Well, yeah, amen. Well, hey, when I stand before Jesus, I want to be able to tell Him something. I don't want to stand there and go, You know, that's embarrassing. That, you know, you can be embarrassed before the Lord. And I don't want to be embarrassed. I want to hear, Chuck, you did a good job. Well done. Now, this guy who put forth this idea that divine healing said that it meant only Christ took the sicknesses of those who lived at that time, he forgot that Matthew wrote his gospel after Jesus died. If healing had only applied to those people in Jesus' time, Matthew would have written, he himself took their infirmities and bare their sicknesses. Now we got another person, another brave soul, who said that this theory in this scripture, rather than referring to the past, refers to the future in the millennium. Well, that can't be true in the millennium, because in the millennium, we who have been raised to reign and rule with Jesus are going to have a body just like His, and honey, it couldn't get sick if it wanted to. We're going to be as He is, so are we. Wouldn't that be great to have a body like Jesus and say, well, and Jesus said, "Hey, I want you to go over in California. I want you to go over there, and you will be able to go over there in a second and minister." That's going to be the coolest thing in the world. That's the coolest thing in the world, to be like Jesus. Can you imagine being like Jesus? Never being sick, never being hungry. Well, I don't know. Hungry's nice. I kind of like to eat. I kind of like to eat. Now, our bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says our bodies will be like Jesus. Healing will not be necessary. But another person not giving up said, didn't Jesus teach us to pray, thy will be done? Now I tell them, you're only using half a scripture. And someone once said, be careful using half a scripture, for you may get hold of the wrong half. Christ taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as I said before, since there's no sickness and no disease in heaven, it's His will that there be no sickness and disease down here on earth. The same Bible that gave us John 3:16 for salvation and told us God's will for the lost has given us Matthew 8:17, which said Himself bore our infirmities and carried our diseases. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, He never changes. If He made this a man by Ananias whole, He can and make believers whole today. You know, in Acts 9:38, Peter said it to Ananias, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise and take your bed up. And if He did it then, He's still doing it now because He's the same. Now this one, I really want to spend a little time on. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. This was just about worn out. But in the 7th verse it says, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But in verse 9, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. You notice once He did not say, I'm sick. The thought is widely held, though, in Christian circles, that Paul had a sickness which God refused to heal. This teaching has held many people in bondage when they should have been healed. One common belief is Paul suffered from some eye disease and was nearly blind. I've heard this taught. I've heard this preached. And Acts 9:12-17, the Bible states that when the Lord appeared to Ananias in a vision and told him to go lay hands on Saul that he might receive his sight. Now, what happened? How did Paul lose his sight? Well, he was on his way to wreak havoc with the Christians, and as he was riding on his horse or donkey, whatever it was, a light from heaven hit him and knocked him to the ground. Now, in that vision, he saw with his spiritual eyes, the eyes of his spirit, he saw Jesus, because he said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am the Lord, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Paul, is it hard to kick against the ox goads? Now see, when Paul opened his eyes, he was blind. So when he seen Jesus, apparently he seen him in a vision, he seen him with his eyes closed. And of course, Ananias, the Lord, you know the rest of the story. He told him where Paul was and where Paul was sick and Paul was or where Paul was praying. And Ananias said, Lord, I don't want to go. I heard about this dude and he's bad news, Lord. He's killing Christians and he's doing everything else. I don't want to go with him. That's all paraphrased. I wrote that in, all right? Now, but the Lord said, go lay hands on him, for he's a chosen vessel of me to preach the gospel. And he said, I'll show him the things he must suffer. Now, Paul did suffer persecutions. I'm going to get to them real quick. Now, this messenger of Satan was not sickness. The Bible says a messenger of Satan. It's translated from the Greek where we get our word diablos, where we get our word devil. So you could translate it that a messenger of the devil or a devil was sent to bug Paul. And every place Paul went, this demon followed him and caused him trouble. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11:24. Paul says of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I've been in the deep. In journeyings offering, in pearls of water, in pearls of robbers, in pearls of my own countrymen, and pearls of the heathen, and pearls in the city, and pearls in the wilderness, and pearls in the sea, and pearls of false brethren, and weakness and painfulness, and watching awful often, and hunger and thirst, and fasting, and cold and nakedness, and the care of the church comes to me daily. Now, if you look at this, every place Paul went, that demon spirit followed him and stirred up strife against him. And Antioch, he was expelled out of the coast. Antioch, he was expelled out of the coast. Antioch, expelled and threatened with death. In Thessalonica, he was run out of town. In Berea, run out of town. In Philippia, asked to leave the city. In Caesarea, he was bound. The Jews sought to kill him. In Melita, shipwrecked and a serpent bit him. In Papyrus, a certain sorcerer, Bar Jesus, opposed him. In Paraguay, ran out of town. In Lystra, he was stoned but rose up from the dead. As in Rome, he was bound and martyred by Nero. You see, it wasn't a sickness. The Bible said a messenger of Satan. And if I said, there was given to me a friend. There was given to me a friend, Garrett MacDonald, to come to me and help me. Would you say, well, it has to be something else? Did I tell you what it was? I said it was Garrett MacDonald. There was given to me a friend. We're going to change this a little bit. I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to make you the other thing. But people, I've heard this preached, that all this, they got all this nonsense because of scriptures, that Paul had bad eyes. I'm surprised they didn't give him fallen arches. But he had about every, you know, he didn't have that. He didn't have that. Paul said, from all things, these things, later in life, that the Lord has delivered me. They don't use that scripture. You've got to understand that God permitted this thorn in the flesh to buffer him, because so he would not develop a tendency to be prideful about all the revelations and visions he had. Now, you want to remember that he wrote half the New Testament. And anybody who wrote half the New Testament might be able to put their chest out a little bit and said, look what I've done for Jesus. But Paul didn't. And, you know, anyone who claims he has a thorn in the flesh, it might be well to ask how many revelations and visions he's had. Now, there's some people that do. Some preachers will, because the devil will follow him around and will bug him and will cause him trouble and will do everything he can to stir up trouble and hinder the work of the God, work of God from going forth. But notice here, and I'm going to close. Notice here, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God's grace is a power to rise above the buffeting of Satan. Now, what is this grace? It's unmerited favor to use the name of Jesus against the enemy, which he cannot stand up because he has given you his name to put the enemy to flight. That's the good news. Well, will you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, we thank you again tonight. And I thank you for Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And I thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're our healer, our deliverer, our savior, our friend. It's, you also have called yourself our elder brother, and you're our God. And Father, I thank you for the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, and it never, ever, ever, ever will fail. Jesus, I pray you bless my brothers and sisters. And Lord, that this will be a blessing and a help to them. Because, Lord, I know your coming is drawing close. And Lord, we want to be able to give you a good report when one day we stand before you and we have to give a report. Lord, let it, for every last one of us, let it be one which will bring, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Thank you.